Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily. In this season, we will be having a rotating roster of co-hosts. No matter who's sitting beside me in the hosting chair, we're still just two people trying to live our best diabetic lives. Every week, we'll tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we may offer tips and tricks, we are not medical professionals. However, we offer anecdotes and general thoughts on how to embrace a type 1 lifestyle on your own terms. It's not easy to do with all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to. Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here, and this week I have two very special guests, Annalisa and Eric from Miles of Portraits. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome to the city on this Sunday. So I met these two crazy kids at YLC, a JDRF event. All I do is plug JDRF, so there's that another free one this week, guys. They were showing their amazing portraits and their story about biking across Alaska. And I thought Annalisa's reasons for doing this, we'll get to you in a minute, Eric, were dope. So can we talk a little bit about how you, I guess first let's talk about, you know what, I always start this off with diagnosis stories. So first off, Annalisa, diagnosis story, then we'll get to Miles of Portraits. Go.
So I was diagnosed almost 10 years ago when I was 17. And I had the symptoms for like 6 months long without knowing that I had it. Like all the textbook symptoms, but for some reason it took the doctors like 6 months to figure it out. I spent 3 days in the ICU. And I think my blood sugar was like so high that they couldn't read it on the machine.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it took like 3 days to actually stabilize my blood sugar.
Yikes. Well, head back to season one, episode one, and hear my diagnosis story and Christy's, which was somewhat similar, except she was in a coma for 12 days. But she made it out, so Wow. Congrats for making it, both of you.
Yeah, they told me that I could have been in a coma, like, with the blood sugar that I had, because it was, like, so high that they couldn't even read it on the monitor.
She was also 17, actually, when she was diagnosed.
Really?
Yeah, in New Jersey. So, I don't know. I always blame it on my doctors in Jacksonville for not catching me for a year, but it seems like they're crazy kids everywhere.
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, so what about you, Eric?
If
you want to share, I should say.
Of course. I was 16 and classic. Like, I lost 15 pounds in, like, 2 weeks. So I just remember all the kids. I went to an all-guys high school, and just everyone being like, Dowds, you look so skinny. And I was like, for anyone that, you know, I'm 6 feet tall, I'm still skinny now. And so I was like, oh, what else is obvious? But then, eventually just ended up going to the doctor and told him all my symptoms, and I was in the hospital all of a sudden. What's kind of interesting is my grandfather had type 1 diabetes as well. So I thought my parents should have caught it a little bit sooner, because I had the classic like 20 water bottles in my bedroom, constantly thirsty, peeing every 15 minutes. So they're all there. So that's kind of one of the reasons I do a lot of advocacy.
Yeah, damn. And I don't know the exact statistics on this, but genetics with type 1, you're fine. Genetics with type 1 isn't, people always think, oh, it's the kind that's genetic. And it's like, no, that's usually type 2. So it's really interesting that your grandpa had it. And he seemed to be a cool, fun guy, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, diving, he lived to be 83.
That's insane.
But that's the difference. If you talk to people who are, like, older, he was definitely diagnosed in the era where he was told, like, every single decade that it was, like, surprising he was alive.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking pig insulin and testing your blood sugar with urine, like, all that sort of stuff. So, like, they barely even knew about carb counting, you know, until way later.
You
so.
Had to, like, go to the hospital and get your finger pricked and...
So the fact that I was diagnosed probably 6 months later, I was on the pump. It's like such a...
Truly hashtag blessed.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Okay, so now that we got those very important stories out of the way, let's talk about Miles of Portraits. So how did that come to be?
So should we go into like... So I started bike touring about 12 years ago when I was a teenager. My mom signed me up for this organization called Teen Treks, and they put on like... self-supported bike trips for teenagers. And so the first trip that I did was Buffalo to Toronto. And just the idea of like using your bike to go long distances was something that I like, that never occurred that you could actually do that to me. So after that trip, I just like was obsessed with the idea of biking across America. I just heard that it was something that a lot of people did. So 2 years later, I signed up for Teen Trek's maiden voyage across the country. From Seattle to New York. And then
So that was like basically the highlight of my life at, as my like 16-year-old self.
Truly.
I mean, seriously. It's like all I ever talked about, just never got tired of talking about it.
That's so cool as a 16-year-old to even be allowed to do that. Yeah. Maybe I come from a very different household. Yeah. And Jacksonville's a scary place, mm-hmm. but like,
I'm surprised I was able to do that as a 16-year-old.
Power to your parents. I mean, you seem very trustworthy, so for all the listeners out there, she seems dope. Check her out. Continue. That sounded creepy. I'll work on that. Go ahead.
So fast forward about like 6 years later in 2014, or I don't know, 7 years, I can't do math. Anyway, 2014, my mom passed away from leukemia complications, and just like seeing her in the ICU, I spent like 3 weeks straight just with my dad, like sleeping in the waiting room in the ICU, and just like seeing her go through that like nightmare just made me want to take advantage of my own health and like ability to do something crazy like this. Like, despite having type 1 diabetes, I was like healthy and able.
It's a very important distinction. I feel like a lot of people are like, you have a chronic illness, you can't do a lot of things. Yeah. And you were literally like, wash me. And I think that's amazing. So
thank you.
So then, how did Alaska come to be?
So, sorry, there's like so many bike trips until Alaska. But anyway,
come on, I want to talk.
Eric and I eventually biked across America. A few years later, a layoff kind of enabled me to do it, and Eric and I had been talking about doing it for a while, so we embarked on the Transamerica Trail from Yorktown, Virginia to Seattle, Washington. That's where I ended up, and Eric actually ended up going down up to Vancouver Island and then down the West Coast. But that was the first bike trip that we did together, and then this past summer, we biked across Alaska and took pictures of the people that we met along the way.
And there's some really cool people on there. We, YLC, got to see a little bit of a preview of that, which the magazine you guys were on, or book, oh my God, my grandma's painting's falling. we'll leave it. Sorry, grandma. But no, it's still falling. It's like really falling. I'll just prop it up.
Yeah,
just prop it up. Grandma's a dope painter. Maybe one day I'll post a picture of it in his house of it. She's dope. Thanks, man. She's like 96, so I don't think she's listening to this right now. But if you are, hey, Grandma, love you. So the magazine or book, what are you guys referring to this?
How about a magazine? Because there's going to be several.
Okay. Yeah. So magazine sounds right. So that's coming out in November. Details to follow on that. Mm-hmm. But Eric, what made you want to hop? I mean, clearly, Annalisa's had this really cool overarching story about biking. What's your take on it? Like, you were just like, here, let me bike across the world with you.
Kind of. No, I think it was just, I wanted to get outside of New York, New Jersey, and just see the country at the time. And I think what surprised most people is I hadn't been on a bike at all before any of this trip. Like, I legitimately built my bike, and when I did that, I put my handlebars upside down, which I didn't know was possible.
It was just hipster. You're so hipster.
Yeah, exactly. Leading the trends. And what started out as a 3-month journey, I think what you discover when you're on bike is just like how happy you are every single day, like the amount of kindness people are showing you, the amount of like adventures you're having. And so that's where like a 3-month trip turned into a 6-month trip, which turned into like a year-long adventure. And so when Alaska happened, it was like, yeah, of course, let's make this happen.
So, backing up for a second here, and I don't know if you want to get into this at all, but you have a background in environmental stuff, correct?
Yep.
So, before biking. So, is any of this, like, trying to reduce your footprint or anything? You seem, like, very into that kind of stuff. You're like, no, I just like biking.
Yeah, I'd say it's a little bit more on just liking biking. I mean, I think it's...
I can edit that. You're like, hot damn, you're trying to pull things here that are not
authentic. No, keep it authentic. I mean, here in New York, I would bike to my work, so I used to live like
up. It is so dangerous to bike in the city.
I never do it. It's a nightmare.
You couldn't pay me.
It's a wild time, but, you know, it's fun.
I mean, fair to say. Take your word for it.
I think what the bike offers, not really on, like, the carbon footprint or anything, I think it really is that, like, amount of engagement you get just because you're so vulnerable.
See, the bikers that I see are usually flipping people off, but that would also be me if I was biking in Manhattan. So that's, maybe I'm doing a service by not biking in the city.
Yeah, biking in the city versus like getting out in the countryside. So yeah, different, obviously.
So Alaska seemed like the most beautiful place ever. Definitely made me want to go visit. How many miles total did you guys bike? Do you know?
The whole journey was 1,000, but there were some train rides at the beginning and at the end.
Okay, we can keep that a secret. All of you listeners out there, this is a secret between all of us. Dope. It's cool. But, I mean, we'll link to a lot of the pictures, and maybe we can do something where the pals can see some of the goods. But it is truly breathtaking, the journey that you guys took. And you were straight up camping and just doing all these things that I feel like a lot of people don't realize you can do with type 1. I've been guilty of that when I was first diagnosed. I thought it was such like a, not necessarily death sentence is the appropriate word, but just like a stamp on me being like, you can never do anything spontaneous or fun ever again. And yeah, maybe I'm not the most spontaneous of people, but I wanted to have that option. And I think you guys really proved that differently, prove that wrong. So, I mean, what was the, you had to pack for months and months worth of supplies and you were out in the middle of nowhere. What was the scariest part for both of you?
Oh, so just to back up about like having diabetes, after, to diabetes, just what you were talking about before, thinking that you might not be able to like go on such a large trip. I just remember like so many people, asking me after my first bike trip across the country if like I would ever do a big bike trip like that again. And I always like answered with the same like answer. I would always just be like, oh, it just seems like it's too big of a feat to do with the disease and it would like be too much of a hassle. So I'll just like stick with short trips. But yeah, that's actually like one of the reasons why I biked across the country again was just like to challenge myself. But I feel like, yeah, Eric and I really figured out a way to do it. On the first bike trip across the country, I mean, on the second.
To be able to have to catch yourself there. I'm like, remember the last time I biked? I was in 10th grade. It was with my high school boyfriend, and he made me. So there are very different relationships to bikes here. Anyways, sorry.
Anyway.
Now everyone knows that story. Brendan, if you're listening, it was fine. I needed that.
My dad actually shipped me like medications along the way because I couldn't carry like all these Omnipods with me. It would just be too much weight. And then in Alaska, it was about 5 weeks. So Eric and I carried like all of our medications with us. I am on injections, so it was like less to carry for me. Yeah. But you were asking what the scariest part was?
Yeah.
I think it's bears.
Yeah, definitely bears.
Oh my god, I really was thinking it was going to be something diabetes.
No, it is diabetes related.
But it's like, you're out, whenever you're camping, it's like bears is actually a major concern in Alaska. Like, everyone's always telling you about it. So we had, or Annalise had a bear box.
But it's I wanted to ask about that, but I didn't want to interrupt your...
Right, so
we
was like, what's happening?
I had a bear box and Eric had a toolbox.
Priorities.
Just, like, the equivalent of a bear box.
But yeah, like, as diabetics, you always need low supplies on you. And, like, people are telling you stories like, oh, a bear can smell, can smell, like, toothpaste. And we're like, well, like, we also need to be sleeping with, like, a juice box or something like that.
So you're like a bear target.
So we are a major bear target.
We had candy in our tents.
Did you ever come across a bear?
We saw one in the distance, and then one like crossing the street in front of us. Wait, were there any
like in Denali things? National Park? Like, there's a lot of bears.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Florida, so we had a lot of gators, but that's about that. We used to feed them. That's like a different story. I'm from a ratchet place, but that's insane to me. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we had to put all of our food. Like, at some points of the trip, we were going for, like, 5 days without seeing any stores or, like, civilization, so we had to carry all of our food with us.
See, that, to me, gives me so much anxiety, which I'm sure I'll be talking to my therapist about, but still, like, what the hell? Like, 5 days in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, I don't know how we managed to, like, fit all of our food into a bear box and a toolbox. Like, that's all we had.
So, what were your meals like to bike across? I mean, I know the answer to this, but what, how did you maintain the shugs, if you will?
Shugs.
Maybe we'll let Eric talk.
The secret is peanut butter, and Eric will tell you more.
Sorry.
I eat a lot of peanut butter. No, I think it's crazy, because, like, if you're an endurance athlete or going out in the wilderness, usually your main concern is water. And Annalisa and I, so our bikes weighed, on the Trans Am, our bikes weighed, like, 70 to 80 pounds each. And then up in Alaska, they had to be, like, 110, 120 pounds each, just because we had so much extra food, because that was our main concern.
Well,
so it's
yeah,
like,
that's a really valid. Carrying, I think that would like, be any diabetic's main concern.
Yeah. And we carry a lot of produce with us, which is, like...
Keeping it fresh.
Not, yeah, keeping it fresh.
We do keep it surprisingly fresh, which is surprisingly...
you would be surprised how long different foods surprise. Last without a refrigerator.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
So, we ate healthy.
I mean, like, what were the carbs that you were consuming? Because you're working out constantly. You're biking however many miles a day. Question, sidebar, how many miles a day did you average, do you think?
Alaska is probably closer to, like, 40 or 50. Okay. So, we try to take it slower since it's we were doing the magazine. Then, also I was also filming. And so, our days were slower.
Oh, yes, filming.
You should have seen Eric. Like, he had a proper tripod on his bike that he was carrying.
Yeah, like, the you just saw the trailer, but, like, every single shot, if you see both of us, it means the tripod and the camera is left behind somewhere.
Really?
So there's, like, all of those shots are either, like, Annalisa biking and I'm flying a drone, or, like,
classic.
We're biking, like, that opening shot of us going across the bridge, yeah, and if people see this, like, I ended up biking across the entire bridge to go get the camera again.
Back uphill.
Things people do for the gram, damn. Oh, my God. Well, I guess for the magazine, but it was probably also for the Instagram.
So, I think it'll be a cool, yeah, like, behind the scenes, because you used to see all the stuff. It's like, oh, wow, like, they must have had a nice film crew with them. It's like, nope. Like, it's like, okay, Annalisa, I'll catch you in 10 minutes, yeah.
I mean, clearly, a lot of things are done very low budget and end up great. That's what I tell myself. But that's amazing. So, as far as, like, back to eating, how did you, I want to know, like, you, because you mentioned chia seeds or something like that, so you're doing all this cardio and biking, and, but it, everyone's different, everybody's different, mm-hmm. Like, for me, when I do a lot of cardio, I'll spike, and then I'll drop really quickly, but how are you maintaining that when you're biking, like, all day?
Yeah, I mean, I think,
shooting.
I think what's, I mean, it's nice traveling with another diabetic because then, like, you definitely have more of an effort to work on things and experiment more. But, like, as a relative point, like, we're working out 6 to 8 hours a day. So that's very different, like, if you're going on a run or something that's a lot shorter. So, like, when you're actually biking, like, I could eat 60 carbs an hour without bolusing that much. So that's why I say, like, a lot of peanut butter, a lot of, like, Cheerios, like, nuts, all that sort of stuff. You're just, like, constantly crushing it. But then when you're off the bike, like at dinner time, I feel like we tried to have lower carb meals before bed.
Which we didn't always do.
Which is tough because you're so hungry.
Yeah, I mean...
Because you can burn probably 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day.
Yeah, same. But sitting at my desk, that's insane.
There was this one night that we had, like, we made quesadillas, and I think we just, like, put so much cheese in them that the next day, like, we were both, like, 350. We just felt awful.
Oh my God.
But well, once we started biking again, like, we felt
all that
better.
Fat from the
yeah,
cheese delaying it.
Exactly.
It's like there's so much. Because to me, and this is probably wrong, but I've only had it for 4 years and this is what works for me. I mean, cheese is very low carb. So, at least in my life.
I remember being diagnosed and, like, being told what the free foods were.
Yeah, cheese
and, like,
is still
one
free
of the, yeah,
food for me.
Free food.
I know technically
and then
it's not, but it still works
that's
for
like
me.
That's
so
like all
don't
I
eat.
Bony,
yeah,
like half you, a pound of it.
You really shouldn't.
Oh, well, yeah. Listen, I know, okay? That's I'm like, talking about one cheese stick, okay? Let me live my life.
That was, like, our quantities, like, a quarter
like a half
pound,
a
half a pound of cheese.
Like, we would go through those blocks of cheddar cheese, like,
that sounds
so
like a dream. Also sounds like it would wreak havoc on your stomach, but you guys do you. I mean, whatevs.
As long as you eat it, like, earlier in the day, like, we can eat whatever we want, like, as long as we just get on our bikes immediately.
And just don't
like,
think
right
about
afterwards.
It. Yikes. Well, you are in the middle of nowhere, so I guess yeah. Whatever's left behind is left behind.
That's why it's hard at night, because, like, we go to bed and our bodies are so used to, like, biking all day.
Yeah.
That they're just like, what are you doing?
And then I'd imagine you'd start biking.
And then we're beeping, like, the whole night.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys spent so much time together and slept, because that's, like, a big thing.
Yeah,
I mean, well, people always ask me, they're like, would you ever date another diabetic? And I'm like, I want to sleep. That's like my biggest, like, better not. Like, I don't know. So I guess staying together for 5 weeks, what was it? Mm-hmm. Something like that, and beeping all the time.
We both have like a terrible habit that neither of us wake up to any alarms.
So this is sounding more and more dangerous to me, the fact that you're both out there, and if something were to happen with food, neither one of you would have made it. Let's make that clear. I mean, maybe you would have. That's not nice of me to say. Like,
whatever. Well, I wake up from, or at least I wake up from lows. It's the highs that okay, I don't wake up from.
So then that damage is done later, usually, so it's like whatevs. But, I mean, that would be my biggest fear. Mm-hmm. Just two diabetics out there.
I think it's just alarm fatigue also. Like, we're just so used to hearing it that it's just, like, works its way into our dreams.
Oh, we don't wake I've up had some it. Weird dreams. Like, where all of a sudden beeping's coming from, like, whatever is going on. But also my college roommate. That's a whole different story. Never mind. But, yeah, I mean, alarm fatigue is a thing, and that's why I, A, change up my alarms a lot, and B, well, sometimes if I just need to sleep, I'm going to set my high for 250 and just say, fuck it. Sorry,
like,
body.
I need sleep.
Like, at the end of the day, I'm going to be running high for, like, a week because I'm so stressed out and haven't slept versus running high one night because I really needed, like, a good 10 hours. Like, hopefully it doesn't happen, but I've been there. And if you're doing that for however many weeks, I feel like you're too tired anyways.
It's pretty interesting because, like, half the trip I was looping, which is like the do-it-yourself artificial pancreas, and so overnight my blood sugar was almost automatically getting corrected, and that was like a huge
that would have pissed me off if I were you.
A huge breakthrough in terms of now that you guys can gang up. But yeah, I mean, like, the fact that it's like, we, even if you're just like slightly wrong, like, we would wake up and I'd be like, oh, Lisa, my blood sugar is 100. She's like, great, I'm at 300. It's like,
yeah.
But from an athletic standpoint, it's such a huge difference. Because, like, if your blood sugar is 300, we should be eating right when we wake up to get everything started. And so if you're 300, you don't want to eat. And that's, then you're trying to bike on top of that. And so it's, like, pretty exciting.
Sounds really,
if things can correct themselves while you're sleeping, like, you get so much more, like, done in the day and just feel so much better.
So what pump are you looping with?
Is there so I have a... Yeah, so
much it's... about looping?
Looping overall uses the older Medtronic pumps.
Okay.
So the 515, the 522, and the 523, or the 7, which is just the larger. But, yeah, so it's like the community...
Well, we haven't been on Omnipod.
He has a shirt with that written on it, on the back.
Yeah, because...
Okay,
so many people ask.
Yeah.
So it's just like there was like a small hack that made it so people could get into these older Medtronic pumps, and then the community over like 10 years basically made a piece of hardware and all the software. So, like, my smartphone controls everything that my pump does. So it's like where commercial systems are going in the future, and it's like very exciting. But,
so,
like, I have that now.
Never mind. Words are hard. That's cool. Yeah. Moral of. So that clearly was a benefit to you while you were... Didn't that make you nervous at all that it would stop working? And I think I have a lot of anxiety, what I'm realizing from this entire conversation.
Sounds like it, but...
Like, if you were to...
He wonders why I'm, like, sassy to him. Anyways, moving on. Yeah, if I were to start looping. But, so, tell me a little bit about the people you met along the way, because the magazine isn't about diabetes, per se. It's about the Miles portraits and all the people you met along the way. And I imagine there's some interesting people in Alaska.
And you'd be surprised how many diabetics there were.
That was, like, my favorite part of your presentation. You're like, and this guy was diabetic, and so was he. And I was like, what?
There's a lot of them out there.
Oh, my God. Living their best lives. Yeah. Truly. And I walked down the street, and I could go the entire day without knowing. And then you see, I saw a girl wearing an Omnipod, and she, like, lives across the street from me.
Yeah.
And it's a small world, especially with diabetes.
Yeah.
But, okay, so how many portraits are we talking?
Sure. So, it was about, I think it's like 15 that went into the magazine, but there were more that you can see online. And just to back up a little bit about Miles of Portraits, so riding, I think Eric touched on this a little bit before, but riding a loaded bicycle, like, people tend to stare at you a lot. Like, you're very vulnerable. Like, a bike literally has no walls, so... Like, people ask you so many questions about your journey and, like, where the hell you're going with all this gear on your bike.
So people like ask us our life story. So we decided to kind of turn the question around on them and take their pictures and share their stories. So I guess we can go into like some of our.
Maybe like top two.
Top two.
Not to make you choose your favorite people, but yeah, it might have to be top two.
Sure.
Most memorable, maybe not top. That can be crazy. People are memorable too.
Well, if we want to talk about the diabetics,
podcast.
Yeah, so very niche. There are these two men who are cycling in the opposite direction as us on it was on the Denali Highway, and we always stop to talk to them and ask them kind of where they're going and what their story is. And these two men were actually wearing Type None, like JDRF headbands. And Eric had been talking to them for a while and like didn't even notice. But then when I like roll down the hill, because I'm usually behind Eric, I went out to shake Ryan's hand and he noticed he was like, oh, a Dexcom. And turns out that his daughter is like the only one, the only looper in Fairbanks.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's like a really niche thing. Yeah. Like she must be the only looper in all of Alaska.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. So are you going to go hang out with her sometime soon?
Yeah. We should have made a trip up there. Yeah.
It's not too late. But that's okay. So that's yours. Mm-hmm. Then Eric, who's yours? It has to be different.
We can plug. So it's cool. Like putting everything on Instagram, and I think overall our community's gotten a lot tighter because of Instagram. And so we were saying like, oh, we're going off to Alaska, here's what's happening. And I knew Abby Brow moved up there recently, so I was like, oh, let's have a diabetic get together. Abby Brow was part of Bike Beyond, the Beyond Type 1.
Fellow
diabetic biker, to get in that nice niche category.
Diabiker, into it. Continue.
And so this woman, Abra, was like, oh, I really want to meet up with you guys, but the timing didn't work out. And so we're like biking around, we're leaving Denali National Park, and we're up in Healy, and I go into the grocery store, and when I come out, Annalise is talking to Abra, and she's like, oh my God, so it's, she of course is a type 1 diabetic, so was looking for us because she knew we were kind of going to be out, and then of course in like a random small grocery store in the middle of nowhere, we bump into each other.
Oh my God.
And then yeah, when we were leaving Anchorage, like Abra hosted us, and she's from Barrow, which is like the most northern town in Alaska, which is one of the most like northern towns in the entire world. So she cooked us like
Russia from her house.
Yeah, exactly.
Nearly.
So she cooked us halibut, and yeah, it's just like one of those amazing.
Oh my God, halibut! That's very specific, but great fish.
Well, Alaska's like
that makes sense.
Halibut season and salmon season. We were there for that as well.
That is, I'm obsessed with salmon. So jealous. Okay, maybe I will make a trip up to Alaska.
Am I a lot of fishermen too?
I could imagine that. I feel like it's probably heavily populated with those. It's like not a lot going on up there. Anyone who's from Alaska, feel free to beat me up for saying that. I regret it. I'll edit that out. This entire episode is me being like, yikes, why did I say that? But to wrap things up and to put everyone out of their misery, thank you guys so much for coming on. If you guys want to check out Miles of Portraits, I highly recommend you do. We'll link to it on our website and on Instagram. But it's milesofportraits.com. And you can follow Annalisa on Instagram. I'll write out her word for you guys. I don't want to, her word, her name. I don't want to sit here spelling everything, but it's at Annalisa VD Berg with an H at the end. I hate myself. And then you can also follow Eric Dowds, which is literally at my Eric favorite. With a K, Dowds. That's E-R-I-K, Dowds, not with a K. It's not spelled out in there. I hate myself. Everything's okay. And follow Miles of Portraits on Instagram at Miles of Portraits. And follow us on Instagram at pancreas_pals and at pancreaspals.com and on Facebook at pancreaspalsPP because for some reason Pancreas Pals was already taken and I'm still salty about that 2 years later. It's okay. I'll move on. Stay tuned for another great new episode coming up. We still have a few more left of season 4 and we hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.